the Atom Age, and you're listening to The Grind on PRC.
Hi, this is Steve from Overtime Heroes, and I'm currently being force-fed cat food in Mark Ryan's basement.
Because I'm a sick, sadistic person who enjoys poop.
And you are listening to The Grind.
Hey, Chris here, and we're just kicking it into Volume 135 of The Grind PRC. Lots of From the Mailbox features in this one, including some brand new stuff from Lapona off their Networks album, which was released earlier this week. We'll also be hearing some stuff from Drones, Surefire Loss, The Fear, and Dark Century will be supplying the dose of metal in this one. As you heard from the artist IDs off the top of the program, we've got an interview with Ryan from the Atom Age, and Mark Ryan tortures some intel out of guitarist for Overtime Heroes, Steve Ferreira, about the band, his involvement with a music video for Ontario's Polarity, and they chat as well about some of his more artistic endeavors. The Ferreira Fiesta will be our last interview in Volume 135. We'll hear my chat with Ryan from the Atom Age about their upcoming tour, their new release, The Hottest Thing That's Cool, in around 40 minutes, and we're going to sandwich in all those From the Mailbox features. First up, I would like to take a little bit of time off the top of the show to pay tribute to a recently passed member, a pillar, if you will, of the international punk community. On August 1st, the world learned of No Use for a Name frontman Tony Sly's death. Tony Sly, dead at 41. Probably the same as many of you, I found out the news through the feed on my Facebook. I first noticed a friend's post saying, "I'll see you on the outside, Tony," with a link attached to the song. When the dreaded more posts about Tony Sly showed up as I scrolled down the feed on my phone, my heart sank. The time it took to get to a computer to verify what I already knew was fact didn't soften the blow the least. Like for many of you, No Use for a Name had a good market share of the albums I chose to listen to during my formative years. I had many a great time seeing them live, and many memories attached to songs off of their albums. From 1999's More Betterness, Chasing Rainbows.
Baby,
think the Grind only talked to Tony once on the record and a few times off from those talks. And from what I knew of Tony through friends I had who toured with him or worked with him in the past, gave me a huge sense of inspiration. That feeling expanded and was mixed with sorrow when reading the memories shared throughout Wednesday as posts from friends around the world flooded my newsfeed. We, the fans and occasional acquaintances, will definitely miss this man, but the pain of grief felt by his close friends, family, wife, kids, is immeasurable. I think it's safe to say there will be a lot of us who will be thinking of and missing you, Tony. You went too soon. August 1st is now International You Day.
I'm sorry that it took so long to write this song, but I gave up. You see, 1 million words can't describe how it feels to know your love. Where did I go wrong? I should have told you from the start that I'm closer than you think when we're apart. Nothing that I've tried is as simple as this line, but without you
Sly and his friend and touring mate Legwagon's Joey Cape from their 2004 release Acoustic. With Tony in our hearts and minds, we're going to crank back into volume 135 with some brand new music from a four-piece out of Tallahassee, Florida. Lapona have a brand new album just released called Networks. The first track and first song up in our First From the Mailbox feature, this is Followers.
Descending from the sky, he straight to sequence. You saw that glimmer. It's like an heirloom passed on to the most reckless hands. A custom that's never broken, but irrelevant.
Experimental melodic hardcore would be an acceptable subgenre to file Lapona under. Having released their debut album Atlas in 2008, an EP called Pigeonholed in 2009 as a digital release, and on plastic the following year. Both albums were reissued via Milestone Sounds in Japan in 2009. Lapona have recently hooked up with Disconnect Disconnect Records in the UK for their international orders of their new album Networks. Lapona on Giants.
If it's all that I wanted to be, then why do I feel like I'm crushing my dreams?
Check out more off Networks streaming for free via lapona.bandcamp.com, lipona.bandcamp.com. Definitely a popular link as they've hit the top-selling streaming status for punk on Bandcamp. If you prefer to enjoy your melodic mayhem on a more tangible form, you're in luck because Disconnect Disconnect Records are releasing Networks on a limited 250-copy run on white 12-inch wax, along with download and lyric sheet, which you can pick up by visiting John and the DDR team at disconnectdisconnectrecords.bigcartel.com. One more on the grind from Lapona, The River.
I always feel the insecure, I always tend to want. get too close. These people are so involved with themselves, they're always at each other's throats. Now it's time for me to go outside and face the world again. Go against the grain, against the grain. They'll follow soon, they'll follow soon, they'll follow soon. Going against the grain, they're all the same. They'll follow soon, they'll follow soon, they'll follow you. Sound is full of empty souls partaking in meaning rituals. They drown their sorrows and go cold. This is where we part. This is where the story ends.
from Lapona's The River to The Fear. The bitter taste can be found on The Fear's Here Goes Nothing release from May of this year on the UK's Lockjaw Records. Emerging from the heart of Yorkshire and pulling from a multitude of influences, The Fear, who began as death-defying life, cut their touring teeth supporting fat wreck bands in the States early in the band's existence and evolved into a European headlining tour this time last year, supporting their Heavy Hearts and Bloodshot Eyes 7-song EP. Between touring and recording, The Fear played a plethora of UK shows and festivals alongside a Wilhelm Scream, Strung Out, Mute, This Is a Standoff, and many more. In fact, these guys share the stage with Straightaway, Counterpunch, and Mute at Belvedere's first 2012 reunion show in Paris. A limited litho poster for which I have hanging in my office. Thanks to Manux. Enough talk, more rock, The Fear with Heavy Hearts and Bloodshot Eyes.
Sounds of an act of distress, a heavy hand, it's such a friend to see.
Along with being released on Lockjaw Records, the Fears Here Goes Nothing album also saw a Japanese release through our friends on Bells On Records. The rest of the year will be spent expanding their fan base and gigging as the band prepare to put out their second album in 2013. Facebook.com/SoundOfTheFear to connect online. And one more on the grind off Here Goes Nothing. There lies better days ahead. From the hottest thing that's cool, the latest release from the Atom Age. This is Dig the Future.
So on the line, I've got Ryan Paris, the vocalist and guitarist for the Berkeley area band, The Atom Age. You guys classify yourselves as 21st century rock and roll. Give me a little bit of a background on what that's all about.
We kind of just kind of made that term up, and then Green Day stole it from us.
Bastards.
But no, seriously, we wanted to combine the best of old and new, not just kind of limit ourselves to being just like a garage band. Or there's a lot of cool stuff that's, you know, happened in the last decade, and we wanted to just kind of combine the best of old punk rock and new punk rock, or rock and roll, whatever you want to call it, and that's kind of why we call it 21st century rock and roll.
I've had a few listens to your most recent release, The Hottest Thing That Is Cool. I gotta say, you guys do a great job of that. I was hooked within the first minute of the track Dig the Future.
Thanks.
The name itself from the band, The Atom Age, references the era of the style of music that I would say most largely influences you guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. Like 50s rock and roll is a huge influence to us, and early 60s rock and roll and pop and garage rock and stuff is definitely what we're all about.
The Hottest Thing That's Cool, your most recent album, has been out since the end of May. Have you had much response on that yet from fans or critics alike?
Yeah, it's doing pretty good. I mean, it's our first like release on a real label with Asian Man, so that's obviously really helpful and awesome being a part of that. And yeah, it seems like it's getting good reviews slowly but surely. It's coming in, and we got back from our tour in June, which was the best tour we ever did. It was really good, and excited to get back out again in August.
Right on. Now, you guys have 10 dates coming up on that August tour throughout Canada, playing from Vancouver all the way out to Kingston, Ontario, and Montreal.
Yeah.
And then along that, you guys will be joining Down by Law on some of those dates as well, right?
Yeah, we're doing all the Canadian dates with Down by Law. They're taking us out, so we're pretty awesome.
That is wicked. You guys have, this is your second full-length album. Your first one came out in 2010, just a couple years after the band formed itself. That was called Kill Surf City. What did you do differently when approaching this new album versus Kill Surf City?
We kind of consolidated our sound a lot. Like, the first record was kind of a bunch of it was written before the band even existed, and it's kind of a little more, like, poppy, and well, there's a bunch of songs where we hit the nail on the head, I think, but the band is definitely like more of a kind of aggressive and riff-based type of band, and that record had a lot more like poppy kind of stuff. So we kind of just stripped it down. We toured a lot on that album and kind of became a band, you know, after it was released, and basically figured out exactly what we wanted our sound to be, and kind of focused it in that direction. And there's definitely some stuff on Kilter City that is exactly what we wanted to sound like, but I think some other stuff we kind of, it was written before I wrote it before the band even existed, so it kind of wasn't completely us, but you know, still like it.
Yeah, no reason to keep my head in place.
the title track off that album, The Hottest Thing That's Cool.
Do you find many difficulties going from something that you've written as yourself now to where you guys are now as a five piece and having that many more people involved in the mix? How does that work out for the Atom Age?
It works out really good. Like I'm still, you know, in the front with the writing stuff, but it's a lot more collaborative now. And you know, everyone, I think, just because we've toured so much and played a bunch, we have a really clear vision of what the band is. So we, you know, everyone is, I think, a really good musician and just goes out of the way to kind of stay focused and knows what will work and won't work. So it actually works out really good, and I'm lucky to have guys who are good. So.
Good stuff. Now, for people that might not be aware of your band previously, and they come out to one of these shows here in Canada, and what can they expect? I'm assuming some smoking jackets, to say the least.
Well, we can't wear our eye patches on stage because they could be just your vision up if you wear them too much. It like makes one of your eyes less dominant.
Yeah,
it hurts basically. But yeah, we look good. We try to look pretty sharp. We kind of call it Mad Men Casual Friday. So we don't wear full suits or anything, but we definitely try to look like early 60s sharp. And it's a high energy rock and roll show. And yeah. Intersex guy jumping in your face, and it's pretty fun, I think, so check them out.
That's wicked. Now, I think if you guys are ever like in a lull and you're thinking, let's do something like just fucking ridiculously crazy at one of our shows, I think you guys should all rock the eye patches and just see how well that actually goes off, or if it is as much of a disaster as one might imagine.
Yeah, I know. We have a music video coming out probably within the next week or two, and we're in the whole getup with the eye patches and stuff, and we have to do, you know, a bunch of tapes, you know, playing, and it's like by the end of it, we all had headache. So they can definitely mess you up. We'll try it one of these days on a special occasion.
There you go. What song is that music video for?
It's for I Hypnotize, track 3. week. I think it's the guys who did it are just finishing it up, so it's going to be out before the tour and everything.
Oh, awesome. And if people are looking to find that, they can track down your website, theatomage.com. Probably it's going to be on MySpace as well. Or, sorry, not MySpace. Whoa, dating myself there. Facebook.
MySpace forever, man. Fuck Facebook. Facebook.com/theatomage or MySpace.com/theatomage. We still got it.
When was the last time you guys logged into your page? I think it's been like at least over a year for us since we've logged into to MySpace.
I think I logged in about a month ago to put the new songs up because my bass player told me that people actually look at MySpace still. So I guess listen to music because it comes up in Google, you know, pretty high up there still. So I don't know if we got any new friend requests, but we'll see.
It all seems to be kind of melding to the same sort of thing with all the event invites and that kind of thing on Facebook these days. It's almost like all those millions of bands on MySpace trying to grab your attention and get you to be their friend.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm always going to support MySpace because Tom was a Rocket from the Crypt fan.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine.
Right on. Now, you guys list Powerful Apes as influences on your Facebook page. Name some of the most powerful apes in your opinion.
Most powerful apes? I would just say any. I don't know. I would think that apes in a zoo would be more powerful because they have like pent up rage from being caged in. You know, it's creepy when they look that right back at you, like gorillas and any sort of primate. So I would say I'm going to say that any primate in a zoo is a powerful ape because they're pent up and they don't get enough exercise and they'll rip your face off.
So there you go. Any caged apes who happen to be listening to this this interview, do not, when you guys end up taking over the world, don't take anything out on the Atom Age. They are in your support, in your corner.
We'll be a house band.
I love it. Well, is there anything else you want to get out there to the Punk Radio Cast listeners before we wrap things up here today?
Just thanks for having us, and check out the band. And if you're in Canada, come out on tour. If you're in America, we tour there too. So come out to the show. That's the best way to check us out and get the feel of what we're all about.
For sure. Thanks again, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Nothing Ever Changes. That wraps up our interview feature on the Atom Age. I should also tell you that that video Ryan was talking about for I Hypnotize is now live over on their page at facebook.com/theatomage. Back to the mailbox for some more kick-ass features from the home of skate punk. This next four-piece serves up fast punk rock with technicality, aggression, and a healthy serving of melody. Surefire Loss and Weak Knees. Huntington Beach, Surefire Loss started out officially in 2005 following a few years worth of a search for like-minded individuals. The band's first release, Finally, The Beginning EP, came out on the 20th of December of last year, and that's where you'll find the tunes that we're rocking on the grind today. Here's When Frank Ducks Sold Out. We'll be right back. Loss features Blake Kardashian, formerly of Chaser and The Definitive Measure. A big shout out from The Grind to Blake, the real Kardashian. Make sure you check these guys out online at facebook.com/surefireloss or live on tour. They will be doing 4 cities in 4 days, starting tomorrow, August 4th at the Bunkhouse in Vegas, then to Scottsdale, Bakersfield, and then Tuesday night at Malone's in San Diego with Sick Waiting. This is Surefire Loss with The Jester.
We'll be right back.
Song called The Jester. That was four-piece punk rock from Camberley, England. Drones, spawning from a need of a decent music scene in their hometown, as well as the need to make music that was lyrically conscious. Drones' songs don't focus on getting girls and pretty haircuts, instead addressing social and political issues that are all too often overlooked in the music of today. Another band in the Lockjaw Records family, having joined the crew in September of last year to release their album Mutiny. Another cut off that disc right now, this is Call Your Own. Facebook.com/DronesUK or visit them on their label page at lockjawrecords.co.uk to pick up their debut album Mutiny for £5 and maybe pick something else up from the other stellar bands on that roster. This is Drones, Assassins of Youth.
Streets ain't much with them. The swamp involves you die with us.
the Crowd, a blistering track from Montreal's Dark Century. These boys just wrapped up their Canadian tour in support of this new single, Kill the Crowd, which can be found on their upcoming, yet to be titled, second effort. Dark Century are not resting yet, though. Following a win in the heavy Montreal Battle of the Bands, Dark Century will be ripping it up at one of Canada's largest fests, Heavy Montreal, later this month. August 11th, to be precise, and they will share the stage with heavies like System of a Down and Deftones. Unfortunately, minus Lamb of God, Dark Century have become more aggressive and in-your-face with a heavier sound since their 2008 release, Days of the Mosh. Here's a song off that album. This is Viande Froide. Century.ca to visit these guys online. If you're digging this, keep an eye out for their new album later this year. One more from their Days of Mosh release. This is Munchers.
Good night, baby.
right, time for Marcus's chat with Steve from Overtime Heroes. We're going to get into that with their song Open Hearts, but first, I am legally obligated to play this.
These views are not representative of the Grind themselves, nor with my band or affiliate members. We'll be right back.
Hello everyone, this is Mark reporting for The Grind. I'm in Ottawa right now with none other than Steve Ferreira, the Portuguese Parasite. How's it going, Steve?
Great. Even better that I found the shake weight in your basement.
Yeah, it's funny that you're using that right now, actually.
Oh, it's quite central, not gonna lie.
You're mastering the art?
Haven't really gotten there yet, but I'm pretty sure I'll be a stiff rider by the end of this interview, my friend.
That's great. Good to know. So, last time I spoke to you for The Grind, that was late 2011. And in terms of OTH, Overtime Heroes, your current band, can you give us an update on what's going on in the camp?
Yeah, sure. So, last time you caught up with us, we were currently recording our EP, and right now it's safe to say that we're just waiting to get it mixed and mastered, so we'll finally be able to get that out for you guys to listen. In between there, you know, we just have been keeping ourselves being busy little boys, you know, played a couple of shows, wrote a lot more songs, gearing up currently right now to get some stuff released. But yeah, it's been crazy, but you know, we've been taking our time and getting stuff done, you know.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of your bassist, earlier this year, Matt Miracle, formerly of OTH, well, now he's in Booze Cruise,
mm-hmm.
Our little miracle. So, so now he's gone, obviously. And so how does it feel to, I guess, lose a friend, a band member, and for him going to a stellar band like Booze Cruise?
Honestly, it was not really much like losing a friend, per se. It's like having one of your closest friends moving halfway across the country. It was, you know, we were happy for him, and we wish him all the best and whatnot, but it still sucked not having our friend and our bassist around. But you know what? It's been a while, and we've gone on, we've done our things, and Booze Cruise is doing amazing. They just wrapped up their as Maddie so amply called it, their little Minotaur down out west, which turned out to be a great success. And yeah, no, he's doing great, and can't complain. It's just wish he was around here more.
And in terms of Sean Taggart.
Oh, Sean Taggart. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. I remember last time where I may or may not have drunkenly professed my love for him on your fine program, which I apologize for, by the way, Mark. I'm really sorry.
That's no problem at all.
Sean's a great guy. Like I said before, classy dude. Got to spend a good, I'd say almost like 2.5 weeks with him last year. And yeah, just miss him.
Can you give us another Sean Taggart impersonation?
Definitely. You know, we can totally do the Sean Taggart voice as long as we want, but yeah, like it's slowly losing its effect because I haven't talked to him very often, you know, recently, and haven't really communicated on the telephone. So I've really lost it, and I've actually adapted as part of my own personality and voice, you know, no complaints or anything. Totally cool. Totally non-Lambo move and whatnot.
From 2011's Moose Stuff, Booze Cruise with Steve. surely not written about the Steve we're talking to today.
So, Steve, in terms of your other work,
yeah,
or your other projects, pardon me?
Does that have to do anything with the Shake Weight?
No, I'm not talking about the Shake Weight, actually.
Oh, you're not talking about the Shake Weight? Was pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, we could talk about it later, but right now I'm talking about Polarity.
Oh, yes.
You were involved in a video with them, well, actually directing a video, so you could talk more about the process and how much work that was.
Oh, yeah, so for the Tug of War video?
Yes.
Okay, sweet, yeah. So, this happened a couple months ago. It was at the show with Kitty. Where Jay kind of talked to me while we're just hanging out, having a beer in the crowd, and he was telling me, like, yo, Steve, I really want to do a video. I'm like, okay, sweet. He's like, yeah, but I got this idea where I want to get these lights set up and have, like, this huge soundstage built into the back of warehouse. I'm like, cool, dude. And he's like, yeah. So, well, give it about a month or so after, they contact me, and, yeah, here I was creating this video for them for their song Tug of War. It was an interesting experience. Really cool, like, got to go in, shoot them in a warehouse, which was completely transformed into like a sort of temporal soundstage. Thanks to the wonderful work of their guitarist and the lighting tech for the day, Jason Swaite, as well as Lana Fruitman, who was great as well doing. They were both rigging that stuff up. They got it. They got the back of a warehouse looking like a soundstage. And yeah, we literally gone in there, shot the hell out of it, and walked away with what we saw. In terms of work, you know, I tortured him a little. Like, we were on set shooting and rolling for a good 6-7 hours. Only had one camera running for the day and shot multiple angles and multiple takes of each member. Unfortunately, Eric, being the drummer, got the brunt end of it because, hate to say it, as a drummer, you're always in the background of every other musician while they play, so he could not escape not playing, so I probably gave him the best work out of his life. May have hated me after it, but he's still cool and a beautiful man, so I can't complain. But yeah, so long story short, we shot for that. It took a week or so to cut it down, you know, dealing with a lot of multi-clip footage of all the guys playing and assembling that, and yeah, came out to what we have right now.
Yeah, amazing. And was that your first time directing a video?
Directing a music video, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I've edited them several times before, but going in and shooting and directing, that would be my first time for.
And in the future, does it interest you to do that kind of work again?
Oh, absolutely. Like, the only reason I initially got into shooting and getting into the career I have right now, which I guess for those listening, I shoot and edit videos, or edit film and video content, just because I'm a sick, sadistic person who enjoys long, strenuous work since I was 18 years old. So for the last, I'd say 7 years, it's been my life. And the only thing that has kept me going and the only interest is working with musicians and bands in order to get some amazing content and display it. So yeah, I'm gonna continue to push forward. I'm gonna continue to shoot musicians and bands as the years go along, because it's the only thing that interests me in this world.
Waiting for my will to
So moving from Polarity to Pooptography.
Oh, Pooptography. Love
it. But last time I talked to you during the interview, you were quite drunk.
And, by no fault of my own, might I add.
And well, yeah, but many people blamed you for talking about Pooptography last year. So this is your chance to redeem yourself. Do you want to maybe clarify what you said or resend the message to everybody?
Well, yeah, sure. Why not? First off, there are no apologies. I may have been drunk, but Pooptography is a fantastic and wonderful endeavor that I will hold strongly to my heart. Again, these views are not representative of the Grind themselves, nor with my band or affiliate members. Pooptography is great. It's, again, over the last year and a half, you know, kind of toned down a bit, but, you know, there's still an appreciation for art. It's like taking a splatter of paint and throwing against a paint against a canvas. Instead of a canvas, you're dealing with a porcelain bowl. Like, it's a pretty beautiful thing if you look at it in its purest form. You know, sometimes you even look at it after it's exited and you imagine, what would you look like with a bowler hat or sunglasses on? What would happen if I built the Eiffel Tower on top of you? You're a blank slate. I must create you in my image. Yeah, long story short, it's a joke. But come on. It's like, poop is funny. Like, who can complain? Like, poop is amazing.
Oh,
look, the Austrians have their squirrels. The Canadians have their poop. Just saying.
Well, that's good. So in terms of... I guess bands you listen to lately, can you list off some?
I've been listening to a lot of Mute recently again. Checked out, actually after Warped Tour, a band down from the States called Defiance, which were pretty sweet. Listening to a lot of Never Hit Again, went back into Nightwish because for whatever reason I enjoy listening to metal soundtracks, or metal opuses for lack of better words. Let's see, Polarity, definitely still in there. Paramore, because I'm a 12-year-old girl trapped in the body of a 24-year-old man. yeah, and just generally the usual. Lots of Japanese metal. Lots of Japanese metal. There's pretty much something else. It's either I'm listening to video game metal, video game music, or Japanese metal, Mark.
And lately you went to see... Jen Fiorentino?
Yes, I did. I don't know why I answered that question like that. But I went to go see her with Nick from IBS down in Toronto the other day while she was playing an open mic. Pretty awesome. Girl has an awesome friggin' voice, and just even her playing, me and Nick were just sitting there listening to her like, wow, if this was done as a full band, like, you got that sense, like, she may have been playing as an acoustic guitar, but it felt like an entire band was playing it, and we were impressed, and it's going to be awesome to see her with Propagandhi in September.
Yeah, she's opening for them? Or, doing a couple of songs before their set, right?
I'm not entirely sure, but she mentioned she was opening for them. I'm not sure how long her set's going to be, but either way, if anyone's going to go to the Toronto show, they should definitely come early and check her out, because you would be really, 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 really sad if you didn't get to see that. That was, it was pretty awesome, Mark. Like,
sweet.
It very rare I could see that, but it blew us away.
Cool. So before we finish this interview, any last words for the Grind?
Yeah. When Mark invites you to his house and feeds you with delightful beers and sits you onto the couch and tells you to eat a bunch of wonderful treats, it's best to question what's going inside of your mouth. And for the secondary point, if you are eating said wonderful cat treats, which we later figured out what it was, do not mix it with water, because it will not leave your mouth until morning. Is that good enough, Mark?
That's good for me. So thanks for your time, Steve.
Not a problem, Mark.
And if you're hungry, I have more treats for
I'm
you.
I'm not eating your treats, Mark.
So have a good night. And we'll talk again soon after I'm back from Europe.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
Take care.
All right, take care, Mark.
Bye.
Bye.
Overtime Heroes with Decisions, and that's where we are going to leave it today. Stay tuned for Marcus's 2012 European adventures in the next couple months to hit the airwaves, interviews from lots of bands there, and keep it locked on thegrindprc.ca for full sets, interviews, reviews, and more. Cheers.